There's a thousand further women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and LasVegasSun.com. I write for every publication and title and platform in Greenspun Media Group. I also write for Vegas Magazine in Niche Publications. That's a sister publication of the Las Vegas Sun. And I also write for The Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it does come out on the Saturday. Joining me now, in lieu of my guest host, Tricia McCrone, who's hawking automobiles in Scottsdale, Arizona, and that is no joke, she's actually doing this, is a dear friend of mine. She's the woman who conceived and is a star of Sexy, S-E-X-X-Y, a topless review at Westgate Las Vegas. That's at the Shimmer Cabaret. Jennifer Romas, first-time guest, long-time friend. Welcome to Cats with a Dish.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Isn't it exciting?
It's very exciting.
This is going to change your career.
It is.
It's going to you're going to just vault into the stratosphere.
Good friends, good time, great media.
It is. Isn't it great? It's all that. Well, it's good to have you here, and you haven't been on the show before, so that's verified. Tell me, Jennifer Romas, now you, this show was, there was a hint of an idea for a show like maybe 2 months ago, maybe, I don't know how long ago. There was the feeling that you were going to be doing something at Westgate, and then now you're doing it.
basically.
How did this show happen?
Wow, craziness, life-changing, miracles happen, be careful what you wish for, all of those things tied up into one knot with this whole experience. To be honest, a mutual friend of mine introduced me to the Siegel family, and back when they first bought the hotel over the summer,
right?
And ended up going to some events there, met with them, had some business meetings, and well, actually, a mutual friend of ours, Robin Leach, actually introduced me to the family.
To David Siegel and his group? Okay, this was back in July when they bought the place in the summer?
Way back then before they did like the lighting ceremony, all that stuff. And like the go-getter that I am, I kept on them and emailed them and called them and sent them in some proposals and things like that of some ideas for their hotel. And one thing kind of led to another, and I ended up randomly doing some other kind of marketing entertainment events for them, the 9/11 Hornets Nest event for the Green Beret Foundation.
Right. Was it that?
I was actually hired to help them, you know, get that out into the city and well-known for that event. Brought in some entertainment as well for that. And did some other, had some other meetings with them and a few other events. And then ironically, I'm also in the Purple Rain Prince tribute show with the amazing Jason Tenner.
Jason Tenner, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is maybe the best show of its type in the city. It's awesome.
The best, actually, probably anywhere.
It is a very high-powered show, and you dance in that show.
I do. I'm fortunate enough to share the stage with those talented
that's
men.
That's a great thing. So that's now at Westgate.
Well, yeah, and that's actually kind of what happened. Ironically, we moved from the D Hotel to the Shimmer Cabaret over at the Westgate, and David Siegel came in and saw the show and, of course, loved the Purple Rain show and saw me dance for the first time, and we started talking. And he said, you know, basically, this whole thing kind of happened literally back December 6th, and then I didn't get the go-ahead until December 9th. Had some meetings with them, went into their offices and met with them, and they said, hey, can you throw this together for us? Throw this together for us. I'm like, you don't just throw this together. But of course, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take on the challenge. So went from there and put together a business proposal and met with some very important people to kind of get some background information. Blair Farrington was a great
producer
guest.
In town. Mm-hmm.
Yes, a very, very great friend of mine, well-known in this community as well, a huge supporter. Kind of went to him for some consultation.
Right.
And the very next morning, I had a business proposal, a graphic design, and I said, here, this is what I can do. And they said, go. And I said, oh, crap. Here we go.
And that date was around the 9th?
I had the meeting with them December 6th, and I got the actual go-ahead on December 9th. So.
And the show opens.
The opening
night was when exactly?
January 4th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Less than a month later, that show is an idea from one moment where you get to go ahead to being a fully realized show.
Crazy.
Ticketed.
From top to bottom, music, concept, costumes, cast, you know, choreography, just everything from the beginning. So it's I'm blessed, overwhelmed, happy. We had a great first week. Tons of support from the Las Vegas community, yourself included.
I support.
Friends and entertainers and just people, you know, coming to support and show Vegas camaraderie, which is great.
So. It is great. We're going to take a quick break here, Jen, and have our movie critic, Josh Bell, talk about films. But then we're going to be back with Jennifer Romas, the mastermind of sexy at Westgate Las Vegas. So stick around. I know we will.
Hey, it's Chris Angel, and you listen to Cats with the Dish.
I was just protecting my guys. They were trying to kill our soldiers, and I'm willing to meet my creator and answer for every shot that I took. The thing that haunts me are all the guys that I couldn't save. Now I'm willing and able to be there, but I'm not. I'm here. I quit.
That's Bradley Cooper as Navy SEAL sniper Chris Kyle in biopic American Sniper. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Cooper's performance is the strongest element of this movie about the deadliest sniper in American military history, based on Kyle's own memoir. It's a simplistic, pandering tribute to the American military, aimed at an audience that prizes patriotism over drama and isn't interested in complexity when telling the stories of so-called American heroes. The characters are flimsy, and even the action sequences are unremarkable. I give American Sniper 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the cyber thriller Black Hat from director Michael Mann.
See, they don't come to meet him, they come to meet this. Kassar texts, Wu, Yang, and Lee walk by. The receivers in their pockets pick it up. They read it, delete it. Kassar never meets him, never sees him. No emails, no phones, no nothing.
Chris Hemsworth plays a hacker furloughed from prison to help an FBI agent and a Chinese official track down the person responsible for a cyber attack on a Chinese nuclear power plant. Black Hat is a stylistic treat that is essentially incoherent when it comes to plotting, characterization, and dialogue. There are certain wordless sequences that make a strong, visceral impact, but they don't connect to form a cohesive narrative. I give Black Hat 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. John Katzlamita sitting here with the beautiful Jen Romas, the woman who brought sexy, S-E-X-X-Y, a topless review to the stage at Westgate Las Vegas. One of the nights of operation for sexy, a topless review.
Sexy. I love how you say that.
Sexy.
Actually, we should have you do our opening announcements. How fabulous would that be? Sexy. S-E-X-X-Y.
I would do it only if I could do it in Robin's voice.
I love it. Play on, play
on. It's my friend Jennifer Romas and sexy with 2 X's.
I love it. That's awesome.
He hates it when I do that.
We are running Wednesday through Sunday, 5 nights a week.
Okay.
In the beautiful Shimmer Cabaret, as you mentioned.
It is beautiful.
Yes, it's amazing. Long time running showroom here in the city. Gosh.
It's been around since, oh my gosh, I can't remember when the Shimmer actually was put in, but I do know this. When I was talking to David Siegel on July 1st, when he took over the hotel, he expressed interest and plans to take to wipe out what he just referred to as the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And this caused a little bit of a ripple between around the hotel and around the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you probably noticed that too.
Yep.
Somebody who's going to be having a show in there. At the time, I think it was Purple Rain only.
We weren't even there yet.
I don't know. But anyway, but a lot of people were noticing that that was going on. And I think when Purple Rain came in, that was when people said, wait a second, maybe he's not going to take apart Shimmer.
Right, right.
So to your knowledge and to my knowledge, I think both of us
I don't think there's anything going to be happening with Shimmer in the near future. If you're bringing your show in.
Yeah, we're going to stay for a while, I hope. The Tatas are going to stay around for a while.
We got, and what else? We can talk about the other shows that go in there that are in the theater. We got the Elvis show with Trent Carlini.
Yep, Trent Carlini is in there.
And Rob Garrett.
Actually, he is no longer there at this time anymore. Okay. It's just the Trent Carlini show, Elvis tribute show, and then Jason Tenner's Purple Rain.
And then you guys follow.
And us. Yep, we do.
It's a very cool room. It's one of the best rooms in the city as far as, the sound has always been very good in there. When you have it dialed in, the sight lines are great.
Mm-hmm.
How is it for you to bring a show in there? What were the challenges of presenting a show in that particular room as a producer?
Wow.
Which you are, really, a director.
Woohoo! Tons of challenges, to be honest. One, just the time. I mean, literally, just the time frame to install and everything like that was a big, a lot of pressure. The room, ironically, is actually not set up as a show room. It is still considered a lounge room, which it's got, you know, great sound and lights and things like that for musical groups and things like that, which as well. But for especially a topless show, because lighting is very important, it actually is not set up specifically for that. So we had some hurdles to kind of get over, as well as just it's not the easiest room to work in terms of your wings. You've got, you know, one entrance, one exit for the stage. You've got one curtain. There's not a lot of, you can't make use of a lot of different transitions in your show without coming through that one curtain. So we had some hurdles to get over, but just kind of working it out and finding what worked and hopefully, making it a success and all the transitions nice and neat and things like that. Honestly, it's just I'm very happy to be there. It's great. We are running 5 nights a week. Right now the show is at 11 p.m., but we are slated to move to an earlier time slot pretty much ASAP, probably by next week.
Really?
So all the shows will be bumping up about an hour. Not specific on the exact times, but I think 6, 8, and 10.
Okay. That's important for – that's a big hour between 10 and 11 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about, tell us, Jen, we've never really talked about how far back, how deep your background is in dance and in choreography. When did you get to Las Vegas and how did that happen?
Oh my gosh, do I have to tell you that? Then people know how old I am.
you're timeless.
Right? It must be the spray tan today. Do you see this? Hello? I've got orange hands, folks.
I noticed the orange. I wasn't going to say anything. But what is happening with you?
Yeah, well,
this is great for radio. But your hands are like, they're like a burnt orange.
They are right now. I apparently didn't go to the professionals.
I don't know if you're a college football fan, but they are the color of the Texas Longhorns home jerseys.
But of course, with our great lighting at the Westgate Theater and Shimmer Cabaret, you won't be able to see this tonight on stage. Let's see. Gosh, God, I've been here since 1997.
Okay.
Do you believe that? Woohoo!
Okay. But when I moved here, yeah, 96.
Mm-hmm. Came here in 97. Prior to that, I'm from the Midwest, born in Michigan, grew up in Minnesota, and then turned down two full-ride scholarships to OCU and Point Park, Pittsburgh, to dance for a national touring company in Chicago.
Okay.
Gus Giordano.
What's OCU? What is that school?
Oklahoma City University.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a great dance program
full
there.
Full rides, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was actually smart. I was a dancer and smart.
I know, right? Lethal combination. Yeah.
But yeah, I chose to, I went to a summer intensive program for Gus Giordano in Evanston, Illinois, in Chicago, and got hired for the national touring group for the company. And so I went and trained with them and toured with them and actually taught with them as well in Chicago for a number of years. And then along the way, had some health problems and things like that, as many dancers do, and moved back home and got better, I guess, and was on my way to L.A. and stopped in Vegas and got hired for a show. So I stayed.
What was the show?
C'est la vie. actually, my very first Vegas show was Extreme Scene, or exposed, I guess, down at the Union Plaza.
Oh, yeah, but yep. It was called the Union Plaza.
Yes,
I remember that show.
Way back when.
Oh, yep. My God.
Robin
that, huh?
Soley was the lead back then. Gosh, the Globe Riders were in there. Tony and Tez, I don't know if you remember
them.
Was this
in the showroom?
Tiger Martina choreographed it.
Right. And was this in the showroom?
It was in the big showroom.
Wow, baby. Wow.
That was my very, oh my gosh, yeah. Coming from a contemporary jazz dance company to my very first topless show in Vegas.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How did you make the decision? Because being a trained dancer, you know, going topless is a very, very serious decision to make, you know.
I don't know if I necessarily even thought that much into it. It just was, I mean, dance is such an expression of self and emotion and body and all of those things kind of combined. Whether you're wearing, you know, a tutu or you're wearing a bodysuit or you're, you know, whatever. It's just that's kind of how I view it a little bit. And it's more or less just about the entertainment value of it as well versus, you know, oh, you're topless or you're this or that. It's an art form no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
So it wasn't that difficult a decision.
I think it was. It was so long ago now. I do remember that when my mom came to see for the first time, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, poor little Jennifer has gone wild. I've always had a crazy side though, so it's okay.
What name check some of the other productions you've been a part of since you've been here?
Oh gosh, Splash.
Splash, a great
mm-hmm.
show.
I was mm-hmm. in Splash for a number of years, actually, when they had the water tank and then when the ice rink came in when they did the revamp. I actually choreographed one of the ice skating numbers for
the
show.
Yeah, it was ice at the end. It was not water.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they took out the Splash. Yep. Mm-hmm. I was in Splash, Christine W., again, at the Shimmer Cabaret, one
right.
of my favorite all-time
mm-hmm.
shows.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Circus, again, which was at the LVH
at the
Hotel.
LVH.
Yeah, an insane, crazy rock show with Dee Schneider.
I liked Monster Circus a lot. Actually, I thought that was a cool show.
That was, yeah.
If that show had a better break and a little bit more time, a little bit more behind it,
mm-hmm.
it might still be mm-hmm. running. It was
again,
very cool.
Again, politics always kind of play into some mm-hmm. things like that, and it was a huge budget production, to
it
be
was
honest.
A lot of money. Hmm. You were in it. You were doing fire and
yes, actually, my
sending arrows across the room.
I wasn't
doing aerial. You were on fire. There was just all this fire.
Tons of pyro. I mean, I think it cost like $50,000 a night to run the pyro for that. That yeah.
My God,
insane,
really?
Insane.
No wonder
amounts.
It closed after nine shows.
They had it was a rock concert, like
yeah.
full on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. But yeah, my ex-husband and I were actually in the show together. I did a pole routine in the show as well as one of the lead dancers. And my ex and I from there actually went and did America's Got Talent. We were seen in that show there. He did fire. We did fire in the show. So it kind of.
How far along did you go in America's Got Talent?
In top 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. Season 4.
We have you're one of many people to be on America's Got Talent. In
Recycled
Las Vegas.
Percussion beat us out. Hello. There
That's
we
right.
were standing with Justin and all the guys, me and Mario, Recycled Percussion. And, you know, they've had a great run here, too, as well. Really great guys, wonderful musicians.
They're moving over to the Sax Theater over to Miracle
mm-hmm.
Mile. Yeah,
yep.
no. And yeah, how ironic. You're both on the strip now.
I know. Yay!
And now tell me about, and I think I got to know you around the time of the opening of Eye Candy. Maybe I had known you before, but I think the first time I'd really seen you perform in
mm-hmm.
a show, a sit-down show, a ticketed show, was that show. And that's
possibly,
where you got
yeah.
hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. This is Eye Candy at Sax Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And you were dancing in the show.
I was dancing. Yeah, I actually was not on hiatus from entertainment, but was traveling, headlining on cruise ships for about 5-6 years. So my Vegas ties in terms of shows and productions and stuff, I wasn't really working in Vegas that much except for maybe corporate. Then came back from doing the ships. Excuse me. Came back from doing the ships and then started doing shows here again and kind of rebuilding that repertoire of,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing stuff here in Vegas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was in Eye Candy Burlesque. It was a Nanette Barbera and John Stewart production. The show was great. The dancing was out of this world. Cast was great. Great entertainment. But yeah, I got hurt. Or actually, I didn't get hurt. I got dropped. I have to be real about it.
Yeah, you're
I do.
The person who was in charge of spotting you.
Yeah, accidents happen. I understand that. But yeah.
What were you in? What act were you in when that happened?
We were doing a partner routine. Just the other dancer and I We were doing an adagio together, and he lost grip of my feet, and I went flying across the stage and landed directly on my kneecaps on that beautiful steel stage, and bada bing, bada boom, bada fuco.
What were the bada fuco injuries there? That you had fractured kneecaps.
The left one primarily. The right one suffered some, but not nearly as much as the left. I had my patella was completely chipped in a bunch of different pieces. Meniscus was torn. And with all of that happening, some of the patella pieces actually cut into some of my tendons. Awesome. So they had to fix that, remove my bursa sac, fix my tendons. And so, yeah, a lot of stuff going on there.
And this was in 2011, about, was it?
Yeah.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. The end of 2011.
4 years, a little less than 4 years ago.
And I had, two surgeries. Oh, gosh, was it 2011 or 12? I don't even remember. It's all running together.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had two surgeries the following year and spent the entire year in rehab, recovery, not dancing, doing other things.
Did you think that you would maybe not dance professionally again?
Totally, yeah.
And when did you feel like you would be able to return to the stage?
I needed to make money. the
great epiphany, burning bush of
my father always asked me or told me when I was younger, he's like, Jen, he's like, dance is like a sport, like a football player, things like that. You know, he's like, your longevity in your career is not going to last forever.
Exactly. Well, I remember thinking the same thing when this happened. I was like, this mm-hmm. is an athletic injury. This mm-hmm. is like what happens to an NFL running back. Mm-hmm. That's why they have careers that last about 7 years if they're lucky.
I know.
And you come back from this and are dancing now. It's an incredible recovery physically.
It is.
I mean, you know that.
Right? Yeah. I mean, my dad always said, Jen, what's your backup plan? What are you going to do if you can't dance? Just think for one day, what are you going to do? And I thought about it and was interested in other things and, of course, have tried other things over the years in terms of sales and marketing and things like that, and which I've been successful at. But just, the stage just – it sucks you in. It draws you in. It's just a different feeling. It's nothing can compete with it. It's kind of like a drug. It's just you get this feeling, this vibe, this emotion. Hard work, yes, but there's just really nothing else that compares to it. So fortunate, I was smart enough to actually start an LLC because I needed to find other avenues to make money. And I thought, well, I know so much about entertainment. Let me just get incorporated, get a business plan kind of thing together, and we'll go from there.
Right.
And I did, which was great on my downtime. and was very fortunate to just kind of get into some other areas of the business, the background business, and some nightclub things and other, a lot more choreography because I couldn't dance on stage as well. And just things kind of grew from there.
How have you changed artistically as a dancer since you've come back from the injuries? Is there a difference in your technique?
I do everything on the right side only.
What, you dance in circles?
Jen goes only on the right side. I don't do anything on my knees. I don't do anything on the stairs. I've definitely had to reevaluate how my body works, definitely. It's definitely not the same as it was before in terms of how my leg bends, straightens, works, things like that. But, I found ways around it and just kind of doing what works good for me. So,
how did you get recruited into Purple Rain? How did that connection happen?
I was dancing and choreographing for Sin City Comedy and Burlesque, which is over
Planet
at
Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood. And I was just getting back into, I was choreographing for them, some of their burlesque numbers for the other dancers. And then every once in a while, I was dancing myself. Again, kind of, you do a 3-minute number for the entire night. And that was good enough for me to, my body could handle that. So I was dancing in the show. And Jason and Purple Rain were in that venue as well at the time. And I remember being in there. It was actually at the same time I was kind of choreographing for Britney Spears' Welcome to Vegas. And I would go in with my headphones on, and I was dancing backstage before I had to go on stage. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm making up choreography. I'm thinking. He's like, you're always working. And then he was like, come stand by me. He's like, how tall are you? And he's like, well, I need a dancer in the show. He's like, do you want to dance in the show? I was like, sure, let's go.
How tall are you?
Well, yes, because if you know anything about Prince, Prince, the real Prince, is a very very small guy.
He's like 4 feet tall.
Yes, he is. So for Jason to have dancers on stage with him, it's a more real-life kind of thing if his female counterpart is taller than him. Yeah.
Okay, so he wanted you to be taller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I wear big Hoochie Mama heels.
Yeah. When you come out in that show, you tower over this situation. It's like you're out there, really up there.
I try to. I wear big shoes so that I can kind of fit the part with him or whatever. So, yeah, again, he's just great. I love working with Jason and all the guys in the group. And I know you're a fan of them.
Yeah,
as
you
well.
Know, and I came late to the Purple Rain dance. You know, I saw him years ago. This is a funny story. I saw him many, many years ago, and I believe, I always forget, don't get the venue right. I think it was at the Shark Club or Utopia or one of those places.
Oh, God,
you remember
Utopia.
That?
Oh, gosh, you're dating us, Johnny.
Yeah, and I went in there. You know Utopia.
I do know Club Utopia.
And I know that there was Purple Rain in there, but it was one of these nights before I stopped behaving this way that I just blacked it out. I didn't remember exactly what was going on, but I remembered I saw and I maybe even talked to him there. And many, many years go by between the time I saw him there and more recently when I did see him. And I went back and saw him and started hearing about him over at Hooters and then at Planet Hollywood and various places. Plaza, he was there for, I think. Or no, the D.
The D, yep.
And caught on to him there and them there and a big fan. Fan of his. I like him very much. He's a real artist.
Yes,
and
definitely.
That show works. Mm-hmm. And it works because they're artists. And
oh,
you're an
of course.
Artist.
And I know he's getting ready. I'm going to plug him for a second. Yeah. I know he's actually getting ready to hopefully release some of his own music too.
Yeah, he's still talked about he's recording on original material.
So I know he's working real hard on that with the guys too. So
this helps blossom into the show we have now, Sexy with two X's.
Sexy
Let's
with two X's.
Let's talk about what we see or don't see in Sexy. Mm. It's a traditional a number of how many numbers are in Sexy?
Oh gosh, exactly? I think 16. We've got 16 numbers, yep, and an hour show. It is it's energy packed. I would like to say, well, we actually do kind of have a lot of costume changes, although we are not wearing much of anything throughout the show.
Different versions of not much of anything.
To be honest, I've always been a I don't know, just kind of I really do feel like my vibe and energy is kind of seen throughout the show, and the dancers are amazing and able to pull it off. It is different, I feel, than the other topless shows in town a little bit. Again, we're still trying to find, I'm still trying to find what works best for the show. We just opened, to be honest. We just did our first 5 days last week. Great success, but there's always tweaking involved. There's always changes that need to be made to make things better, of course, with any show.
Right.
So I'm trying to kind of fine tune those things and see what works for the show and see what we can do to amp up the volume in it and make it different. As you know, there are other topless reviews in our on the strip
as
well.
And you know, we've been around all those corners, obviously, in different ways. And I'm wondering what inspires a show that's new in this genre. It's almost like in magic, you can only do so many things in magic. In topless, there's only so many things you can do. It's just a different way of doing them. How do you become inspired by something without being derivative of something?
There's a science to it. I mean, it's not anything new. It works. You know, if you look up the top 10 fantasies, if you look up the top 10, greatest striptease music songs of all time or whatever, there's nothing, I don't want to say new about it, but I mean, there is a system to how to put the show together. And that's kind of what I followed when I was kind of researching very quickly how to make it work. I was researching top 10 women fantasies, top 10 men fantasies, top 10 songs of all time to try to add some of these things into the show. My very first vision with this was to make it slightly a little bit more naughty, a little bit more erotic, more kind of different vignettes.
Right.
Of course, as I got going in production with the people who I hired, with different, you know, budgeting, with props, with things like this, it just kind of unfolded as it is right now. So again, like I said, I would like to make changes to make some things different, but I'm really happy with it. The cast is amazing. Gabriella Versace is
beautiful girl.
Yes,
great voice.
Yes,
and goes topless.
Yes, ironically, that's never been done before.
It's scandalous, I tell you.
Singers
going topless
for the double X sexy show.
Two X is so far in the show.
Yeah, she's got a killer body.
Oh yeah, well, without putting too fine a point on it, that is a strength of the show, my friend.
Yeah. Happy to have her. My gosh. And we've got an amazing silk artist.
Right.
Svetlana.
Yes. Aerialist.
She's amazing. We've got a pole act in there. Each girl kind of has their own little specialty kind of, you know, standout performance or whatever. And again, that was very important to me, too. My show was cast very different than other shows. It's not your typical, you know, everyone's 5'8", everyone's got long blonde hair, everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone is very unique and very sexy in their own right, which I think makes it different. Just
right.
just with that. We've got, it is a wide variety of different talents and things like that brought into the show, but everyone is just, like I said, uniquely sexy. There's just something about them that I think makes them beautiful and
right.
amazing, and I think that adds a lot to the show.
And it is a show to see if you're interested in a very fast-paced, sexy show with a lot of great music and a lot of great dancing. It is called Sexy. Two X's.
A topless review.
At Shimmer Cabaret at the fabulous Westgate Las Vegas. That's what LVH used to be.
Yes.
And it was the old Hilton and International for those of you who go farther back than we do.
It's my new family.
Thank you, Jen Romas, for coming down and talking with us. We'll do another one of these in a few months after the show is really dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be seeing it between now and then.
Well, thank you, Johnny Katz. Thanks. You know I love you to death.
Love you back.
Mwah. We love Las Vegas.